Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office and welcome to our podcast and presentation for today. This is K2's Backups Done Right. In this class, we are going to be looking and examining the different methods and manner of backup that you can do for your organization. Backup is one of those critical business responsibilities that you have in ensuring that your organization's systems, data, components, platforms, and everything else remain available. You know, and in fact, in a lot of instances, a data disaster is no different than an earthquake, a fire, or something else. In fact, it can be even more damaging depending on the nature. For example, like a data breach or ransomware or something like that. And so backup is one of those critical business operations that we have to put in place before we actually need it. Best case scenario, you never actually will need it, but you know, when you do need it, you're going to be really thankful you did. So in today's course, we're going to take some perspective. We're going to look at, for example, why the circumstances are there, what, you know, kind of things that you should be considering, and some of the backup of, some of the philosophy and methodology with respect to why backup is important, to give you a little bit of perspective with what you can do for your organizations. Then we're going to talk about some different choices. You've got a bunch of choices: cloud backup, local backup, hybrid backup, where you utilize both cloud as well as local resources and more, and why you might want to choose one or multiple methods for backup inside your organization. We'll also touch upon a little bit business continuity and disaster recovery. However, we do have podcasts on those specific topics that would be worth checking out on your own. But we'll discuss a little bit what they are and how those are built into backup plans are built into business continuity and disaster recovery and a necessary component. Well, I hope today you'll leave with some pretty good ideas with what you could do for your organization, choosing between some different methodologies, technologies, solutions, and other things like that for your company and for your organization. So before we get started, I do want to remind you that today's podcast is eligible for CPE credit. If you're a financial professional, CPA and an EA or some other type of business pro, guess what? You can get credits for listening to today's podcast. How cool is that? Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code DBU1, take a short 5-question quiz, and you'll be well on your way to maintaining your license. It's fast, it's efficient, and it's easy. And besides this wonderful course, we have courses on hundreds of other topics ranging from tax, accounting, computer systems, Excel, and more. Everything you need to know to stay on top of your game as a financial pro. Now, today's podcast is a recording from a previous State Society conference that I did a couple of weeks back. So we will be joining you at the end of our presentation today for our review questions. Until then, I hope you enjoy the show, and I hope you enjoy today's content, and we'll see you right there at the end. So the first section that we want to talk about is getting some perspective on why backup is important, as well as some of the major critical components of backup that we should be familiar with. You know, to give you some perspective of this, well, not every bit of data is valuable and not every type of file needs to be backed up, but there are things that are going to be important depending on what file it is and what that file represents to you. You know, we have both personal backup as well as business backup. When we talk about personal backup, we're talking about our direct files, the stuff that is important directly to us. And this is often not business. You know, it could be things such as our photographs, our files and documents, files that we use for archival purposes, our family documents, family histories. It could be some limited transactional and billing information, as well as legal and ownership stuff. For example, my tax returns are only valuable to me, but man, are they important for me to retain and hold on to, because in the event that I have an audit, which could occur years in the future, I want to make sure I have those items. As important as they are, I might be able to reproduce them, and the IRS most likely should have a copy of them, but it would still be good to have my own. Other things, like, for example, like photographs, I might not ever be able to find those or recreate those if I didn't have a printed copy. Increasingly, things are only digital, so creating redundancy in those digital files can be really important for maintaining essentially our history. Now, on the business side of this, there's a lot of different, you know, things that we should be considering: databases, virtual machines, client data, source code, whatever it might end up being. Okay, you're totally responsible for this, whether directly or indirectly. Yes, you might have an IT service vendor who provides this functionality for you, but I would say that it's ultimately the responsibility of the organization to ensure that their data is properly backed up and secured. I would tell you, you should never pass the buck and that you should ask good questions and build your plan because it's in the best interest of your company. You know, there's a lot of different techniques and things to consider, like how many versions to keep, you know, the last three versions, last five versions of a spreadsheet, you know, our volume shadow copies there for, you know, does that count as a backup? You know, there's different things to talk about. Now, in terms of business backup, I would say, again, you're responsible. You should have it be automated. It should be in multiple places, including offline as needed. And you should be able to implement this as a component of your business continuity disaster recovery plans. Backup should never require the individual to actually do it themselves, because guess what? People won't do it. They'll talk about it, but you know what? Disasters are never convenient in terms of what they do. They're always going to occur in the worst possible time. So having some sort of automation with respect to how it's being backed up is absolutely required to be successful. It should also be in other places besides just in that same computer. It might make sense, for example, to copy your data files from one drive to another drive to ensure that if there is any sort of drive failure, you know, for example, a physical hardware failure, that you're able to recover. But, you know, that doesn't help you in the event of a fire or some sort of other contamination that might affect the overall machine. You should also be thinking about disaster recovery business continuity. Disaster recovery involves everything from fires and floods to data breaches and more. Disaster recovery are a set of procedures about how we're going to recover from something as detrimental to that and how can we recover quickly. Disaster recovery really kind of focuses on the first 24 to 72 hours in the aftermath of a disaster, where business continuity focuses on long-term recovery. There's been plenty of examples over the years of different organizations that have lost access to their systems, and that has caused significant issues with them in the long term. So in the event a disaster does occur, we want to be able to recover quickly to maintain continuous operations for our company. Now, besides for the stuff you're responsible for, there's also the stuff for your team, you know, and the team is going to be a larger volume of data, certainly, because you're dealing with company data, not just your data. And we need to think about not only us, but then the longevity of that data and the reliability of that data and our ability to be able to recover when that disaster occurs. We have two important metrics that we need to discover for our organizations and to make a determination on what value that we want to work towards. We have our RTO, recovery time objective, and we have our RPO, recovery point objective. The recovery time objective, the RTO, is focused on how fast after a major disaster we want to be able to get back into operations. You know, in the event of, for example, a hurricane, you know, maybe we want to be able to be back in operations once the water, the floods secede, that we can be back in operation in 12 hours. If it's the event of a ransomware attack, it might be 2 hours or something like that. But the recovery time objective is how quickly we want to be able to get back online as soon as it's safe and feasible to do so. The recovery point objective says how far back in time do we want to be able to have our recovery. I could tell you that the average of this should be no longer than a day. You know, there are some systems that a day is even unacceptable. If you're dealing with massive quantities of transactional data, you know, millions of rows of records, you know, maybe you're a Walmart, for example, and it's your sales records or inventory records, a day of downtime could mean weeks of downtime for your systems overall. And your recovery point might be 10 minutes. It might be an hour. And for other systems, maybe reporting where the data can be recreated, it's not in the line of business, it's not as business critical, that recovery point objective might be a day or a week, just depending on the nature of the organization and what we're doing. But please keep these two metrics in mind with respect to what you're trying to achieve for your business. How quickly do you want to be able to recover, and at what point? How old can the data be before it is no longer usable to you? Okay, so the next thing that we want to be able to consider with this would be, what types of things do we want to back up? Okay, we have files, we have applications, we have settings and drivers, virtual machines, and others. Now, all of these have different values depending on the nature of our organization. And I would tell you kind of the overall easiest thing to back up from my perspective would be virtual machines. The reason being with a virtual machine, which is a machine just running inside of our operating system, the reason it's easy is that essentially that whole machine is represented as a single file, and we could back up that single file very quickly and easily. But absent of this, we have files, we have applications, we have settings, and we have drivers. Now, from my perspective, the most important thing from a user perspective would be the files of that user. Those are the things that we can't recreate. So think, for example, spreadsheets and Word docs and PowerPoint presentations and databases and things of this nature. Those individual files are the unique corpus that represents what we do as a user. We want to ensure that those are backed up. We also have applications. Generally, I don't really recommend backing up applications. If anything, I would tell you to back up the installables of the application. So the ISO files, the executables that install. But increasingly, most applications we get from downloading from the web. And having an installable version of something 5 years ago isn't as relevant as the downloadable version we get today. Exceptions would be, for example, legacy applications, which might be very hard to recover from. In those cases, yes, you might want to get it. We'd also want to consider our settings and our drivers for things. Often, not only with recovering from a data failure, we also need to be able to bring us back into a usable position. So having the specific settings and drivers that are related to our company and our deployment can be very helpful for maintaining continuity of operations. Now, with respect to our locations for backup, we can do it either to a local drive, and that local drive, for example, could sync to a cloud storage solution. A good example of this would be utilizing services such as Google Drive or SharePoint or OneDrive or something like this, where the file itself is installed on a local computer. And as users are utilizing something, they put it into their Google Drive, where it then is synced and shared to a cloud service provider. We could also use dedicated backup providers, which could either dedicate storage in a cloud that will automatically upload to their cloud for us, or it could back up to another physical media, such as a DVD or another external hard drive, or maybe even something like a thumb drive could also serve as a backup. Although I will tell you, from a reliability perspective, those aren't great. Now, the big picture with this that you should understand is that backup is a critical business operation. It's something you hope to never, ever, ever have to use, but you never want to be in a position where you don't have it. If you don't have that backup, it can cause significant issues in the organization, and I would say it would pose a serious business risk to the overall organization. Now, lots of different ways that you can do it. We're going to talk through these different methods, whether they be a local backup, whether it be a cloud backup, or, you know, some sort of hybrid using a backup appliance. But with whatever you choose, you're going to want to have multiple options as well as ensure that it works completely and accurately. Now, a solution like a backup appliance, which we'll talk about towards the end of our presentations, definitely the quickest, easiest way for backup inside of your organization. And it's very complete, and we'll talk about why. Cloud backups, the easiest probably to overall implement. However, it presents other risks around recovery. You know, if you're, for example, trying to recover within 2 hours and you have petabytes of data, that might not be something that you could easily do inside of your organization. Now, a variety of different cloud hosting companies will also provide backup solutions as well. For example, services such as Amazon Web Services, Azure, and others have a variety of incredible cloud hosting solutions that can be very helpful with respect to backing up your data. If your data is implemented directly on the cloud to begin with, then it is kind of a no-brainer utilizing those services. Those services are effective, they're fast, they're affordable, and you could back up everything just in a matter of minutes. You know, for my organization, we utilize pretty much Amazon Web Services and Azure for everything that we do. The benefit being that with respect to those services, I can institute a backup, a snapshot backup, where I can dump the working configuration and all the data on those hard drives to a separate backup almost instantaneously. And we can run a complete system backup across several different devices in the matter of minutes. Okay, now, more and more frequently, we're utilizing hosted SaaS-based applications. You know, as an example, Office 365, QuickBooks Online, and others. You know, what do we need to think about in the context of those solutions in order to make those data redundant and workable for our organization as well as other non-hard drive focused, storage focused things, you know, our phones, people and the individual devices that they're using, as well as how are we going to implement something that allows us to easily be able to maintain this as we acquire new equipment, change settings, add new drivers, configure setup, so on and so forth. As well as thinking about it in the context of some of our network devices, routers, switches, firewalls. I could tell you for most organizations, there's several different applications and several different network appliances that are running that they might not hold your spreadsheets. They might not hold your pictures. But if they lost their configuration, it would be a big headache in terms of being able to get this to work effectively for you. So lots of options to consider, whether they be cloud service, external drives, or backup appliances. You know, on the cloud service, honestly, I recommend them all. You know, it just depends on what works best for you. You kind of have, I would say, two major categories with respect to your cloud service. You have what we call file level storage and then system level storage. Your file level storage would be services like OneDrive, Dropbox, Google Drive, SharePoint, and more. These are really kind of focused on individuals and they're focused on individual files themselves versus system level storage, which would be services such as Carbonite, iDrive, or NovaStore. In my opinion, my personal favorite one is CrashPlan. I'll talk about that here in a moment. If you're going to back up to an external disk of some sort, you could do it through USB, and it could be as simple as a thumb drive, or it could be what we call a NAS, a network area storage device. Kind of the best of both worlds are these hybrid appliances that both back up locally to a USB disk or a network attached disk and then replicate that data directly to the cloud. Now, regarding all of these considerations, you need to think about, for example, what happens if the backup gets contaminated with other data. You know, and that other data being some sort of ransomware or something like that. I would tell you that one method isn't good enough. You need to utilize multiple methods, both local as well as cloud. For backup to be good, it has to be automated. You know, you cannot rely upon people doing it themselves. Even though it's in their best interest, it's like flossing. You know, you don't do it even though your dentist tells you a million times the value of it. It's not until you have some sort of major issue, then you realize, oh man, I really wish I would have been flossing all those years. Backup is very similar to that. With respect to your backups, they also have to be verified to work. I've worked on multiple client projects over the years where they've had a major issue, okay, and the IT team said everything's backed up, don't worry. When they go to do that verification and go to do a restoration, that they find out that the data isn't all there. It wasn't either complete or was corrupted or it only partially went the way through. This happened for a couple of different projects I've worked on over the years, and it can be absolutely heartbreaking when you tell the client, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. So it needs to be verified. It needs to be tested regularly. And all of these need to be done continuously. I'm not saying you need to do this every single day, but it needs to be part of your regular business operations. Now, increasingly, with respect to our backups, we need to create separation between the production copy, what you're working on right now, and the data that is being backed up somewhere else. The reason being is that increasingly we're seeing malware affect backups, and this is happening more and more regularly. The malware, if it gets into the system, can easily affect the backup, corrupting it, making it unusable, thereby forcing you to pay whatever that ransom might be. Bad actors are increasingly creating more sophisticated malware that can cause issues with these backup services. And an air gap puts a physical separation between that backup of wherever it might be and the actual data itself. separating it, creating a kind of a firewall between the actual backup and the production data. In the event that the production data becomes encrypted or otherwise corrupted, it won't also affect the backups. Now, the Department of Homeland Security also has some recommendations with respect to your backup that you should be aware of. They have their what they call their 3-2-1 plan. Okay. First, keep three copies of any important files. You need a primary copy, which I will refer to as the production copy, and two backups. Okay. Those backups will typically be a hot backup and a cold backup. Those two different backups should be stored on two different media types or in at least in two different service providers to prevent a concentration risk and two different hazards. The hot backup, for example, can often be stored on a USB disk or a network attached storage device of some sort that will attach to your network that you will use for restoration. In the event of a quick failure, you can do a quick restoration. And the nice thing about these hot backups is that because you're not transmitting data over the internet, it's usually pretty quick to restore. The bad thing about them is what happens if the production copy and the hot copy are in the same place, like if they're in the same building and the building burns down. Well, you put all your eggs in that one basket and then that is no longer there. With the cold copy, that is going to be located up typically in a cloud-based internet service provider, maybe like Amazon Web Services or others. In the event that the building burns down with the production copy and the hot copy in there, it might take a little bit more time to get access to that cold copy up in the cloud, but you'll still be able to restore from it. And at least one of these, as I mentioned, should be stored offsite, outside of your home or office, typically in the cloud, but it could also be like you rotate between disks, you know, moving them. Maybe you take a hard disk home once a week and or once a day and rotate through those disks. But you just generally want to put them in multiple different places. So what are some things that we should be backing up? And what are some different methods that we should be backing up? It's going to vary depending on who you are and what you're doing. I would tell you select files and folders. I always back up my OneDrive and my SharePoint files, as well as all my teaching records. I would tell you, for example, doing a full disk image could be really effective for virtual machines. It's not so effective for other types of devices, as it could be very difficult to back them up. The nice thing is a lot of services like browsers and email, well, I don't really need to think about my bookmarks and other stuff because they're automatically retained by Microsoft and Google in Edge and Chrome. They back them up automatically. Likewise with my email, it's backed up in Google and backed up in Office 365. I don't need to worry about that any longer. You might want to think about your drivers and settings. I personally don't do this for my personal computer, but I absolutely do it for my servers and any of my client networks. You can do backups of your social networks. You can take your data out of Google. You can take your data out of Facebook and be able to utilize this data in other places, which is quite useful if you're trying to create redundancy with some of these cloud providers. Google, for example, if you go to google.com/takeout, you can actually download a full copy of your organizational data and your user profile from Google. So let's go ahead and take a quick look at this. So if I go to takeout.google.com or google.com/takeout, from here, I can actually download a full copy of this Google account. And these are all the various Google products that are supported by this. I can download all of my Chrome data, contacts. I can download my Drive information. I can download, for example, my photos and Google Photos, Google Play transactions, groups, Hangouts, and more. And if I scroll down here, okay, I can even tell it how often I want to get it, whether it should be, for example, a single backup, or if I want to back this up every couple of months. And so in this particular instance, if I select that second option there, export every 2 months for a year, every 2 months, I'm going to have a Google backup of my account in the event that I run into some sort of issue with Google. I now have at least a copy of my data, my photos, and other components that go along with it. And I periodically do this as well. You could also choose the file format as well as what size of file you would like. Other social networks will let you do this as well. If we look at Facebook as an example, there is a option to be able to download your Facebook information, including all the photos that you've been tagged in, that you've uploaded, copies of your posts, So if you ever want to like maybe get rid of your Facebook account, but at least have a copy of all the pictures you've uploaded for the years, through the years, this would be the way to do it. But I find this to be quite nice that they at least provide these services for you to be able to take your data out. Although admittedly, they didn't do this out of the kindness of their heart. They were forced to with GDPR, General Data Protection Regulations of the European Union. And increasingly, we need to back up our mobile devices. As I always like to say, my phone is not a phone. It is a tiny computer that can make and receive phone calls. As such, it needs proper backup as well. In the case of my mobile device, you know, a lot of my pictures are on my phone. And so I use services like Google Photos. I also utilize Apple's iCloud to create backup there as well. Now, you have a couple of options with respect to how you're going to conduct your backup. And we're going to talk through some of the major aspects of this now. You can either straight up just use a cloud-based resource. And that's a great option if you just need a quick and dirty approach for backing up your data. It's maybe not as complete. You maybe are creating a concentration risk, putting all your data in either OneDrive or in Google Drive or in Carbonite or something like that, but it's better than nothing. And in 2021, I really have no hesitation recommending this as the primary storage method for a vast majority of users. However, the big risk is, hey, you know, if that cloud service provider has a ton of data, it might take a long time to download that data. As such, you might want to consider other methods, like backing up to an external disk drive. Benefit there, it's local. In the event that you need to do a restoration, you're not having to download vast quantities of data on the internet. The overall best approach is a hybrid approach, where you use a dedicated server, which we refer to as a backup appliance, that your local computers back up to, and then it backs itself up to a cloud of some sort. Now, for cloud storage, lots of different options you could choose to use. They fall into two major categories: synchronization services as well as backup services. Now, a synchronization service is a file-level system. In this event, whether you're using Google Drive, OneDrive, Box, Dropbox, ShareFile, SharePoint, or something else, what these services essentially do is they will back up specified files on your computer in what is in the Google Drive or the OneDrive or the Dropbox folder. They will then sync those files to the service provider's cloud, whether it be Microsoft, Google, Dropbox, or others. And then it will also push that file down to the other services that you might be using. So if you have other devices, mobile phones, tablets, other computers, it will create a copy of those on those devices as well. Now, the added benefit of this is you can start a spreadsheet on your desktop computer at your office and then go home and finish it on that computer over there. And it's a great way of being able to gain cloud access to your data without really a lot of heavy oversight for what you do. Now, on the other hand, you have backup services. These are system level services, and these system level services allow you to be able to back up not only individual files, but really all the other configuration that goes along with it as well. Now, there are some major services that support this. For example, Carbonite is probably the overall biggest in this space. There's Novastore as well. There's Metallic that you can consider. A particular plan that I like is called CrashPlan. Now, the reason I like CrashPlan, it's just really bonehead simple. It doesn't really take a lot to be able to use this, nor does it really require a massive upfront investment on the company, on the part of the company, to be able to utilize effectively. You know, in our organization, when we have people who are utilizing computers, which is pretty much everybody in our company, we will always buy the computer and ship it out to them. And that computer will always come pre-configured with some certain company-provided software as well as cloud backup software as well. And the plan we use for this is CrashPlan. Since our entire company is distributed, we're all remote, this is a great way of being able to back up, you know, Steve's computer, Alex's computer, Alicia's computer, Alana's computer, without us all being in the same office. Very simple and very affordable. It's only $10 per user per month for unlimited storage. And with this, we can install this on their particular computer. It will retain the data and it will continuously back up. As files are modified on their individual computers, those file changes are written up to the up to either Carbonite, if you're using Carbonite, or in my case, CrashPlan, and retained on that service. In the event that that computer is lost or stolen, at least we will be able to recover the data and be able to pick up and move forward. It's also got really good ransomware protection and malware protection, and it does a lot of the services that I'm recommending with respect to separation between the production copy and the hot copy for like air gap purposes. But there are lots of different services that you can consider here. Honestly, any one of them are going to work out very well for you. Just kind of taking a look at some of these cloud-based backup providers. You know, you've got, for example, Acronis, A-Drive, Backblaze, Carbonite, iDrive. All of these are going to be really good. Now, if you don't want to go with a full file level storage, again, you could probably be, a full system level backup plan, you'd probably be okay for most instances utilizing file sharing and syncing services like Google and OneDrive and Box and other services like this. You might have to pay a little bit more to get all the data that you want to be included, but you know, the nice thing is that it's going to work pretty well and doesn't really require a lot of additional work on your part to be able to implement this. Now, why should you consider the cloud for the backup? Well, cloud is easy, it's effective, and from the end user's perspective, like the company perspective, it's essentially unlimited storage, it's fast, and it's cheap. If your data is based in the cloud to begin with, this is also a much more effective way of providing backup rather than bringing the data up here and then bringing it down here. You know, if we can go from cloud to cloud to a separate cloud, it's just really fast and efficient. Now, this is also really useful because data sets are honestly getting bigger and bigger. Databases are getting larger. Companies are storing and maintaining larger amounts of data. Cloud is much better equipped to handle terabytes of data much more than individual end companies are because we don't have to think about like storage for that matter. We don't have to think about buying physical hard drive space. It's essentially limitless in services like S3. Additionally, cloud by its very design is also off-site, so it already meets some of the characteristics of what we are looking to do. The only real big downside is how fast can you recover? You know, if it is cloud to local or local to cloud, it can be quite long in terms of being able to get those people up and running. Now, there are three approaches to cloud-based backup and recovery that mirror kind of what we've talked about. We have personal file folder, we have long-term archival backup, and then we have continuous recovery, business continuity and disaster recovery plans that allow us to continuously recover repeatedly as needed. Now, personal cloud backup is very popular. There are lots of options here. OneDrive, Apple, iCloud, Dropbox, and others. Most of us probably subscribe to one, if not multiple, of these services. We call them consumer, we call them personal, really because they're not intended for business data. I'm not aware of, for example, any of these providing, you know, specific compliance formulas and formats for like HIPAA or FINRA or something like that. Some services like iCloud, an example, which is Apple's service, specifically prohibit you from being able to store business grade data. You know, it does not comply to HIPAA, and nor do they want to comply with HIPAA. Now, almost all of these services provide some sort of synchronization of files. Some even provide versioning, which is pretty cool. You know, like in OneDrive, you can create versions of documents as things modify or change inside of the actual application itself. It will retain those changes and then will allow you to restore back to prior versions in the event that particular version becomes corrupt. So think of, for example, if you had an Excel workbook and that Excel workbook had some significant changes, you know, and somehow becomes corrupted at some point. Well, what's kind of cool with OneDrive, and many of these other ones do it as well, is that you can always go back to a prior version of that particular document and restore it if need be. So as an example of this, let me show you what it would look like inside of Windows if you're using SharePoint and the OneDrive client for SharePoint. So you would go ahead and open up File Explorer here, and from File Explorer, go to SharePoint or OneDrive, go to a particular client file of your choosing, right-click on that file, And in that client file, you, contextual aware menu, you'll see the option that says view history. And if you click that view history, it's going to pop up and it's going to show you a history of that particular file and as that file changed. So if we browse through here, we can see that Johnny Demo created this file and then it was modified over time. Okay, and we can even see who made those particular changes. So it could be from Johnny Demo to Alicia, so on and so forth. And at any point, going back 90 days or so, we can choose to restore that file to exactly where it was. That's right built into SharePoint and built right into OneDrive. You know, that functionality, I personally find to be quite effective because it's not only just a backup, but it's that incremental backup. So as you're kind of working through this, you need to think about how much data you have, how much diversity between the different data. Is it mostly video? Is it mostly text? Is it spreadsheets? Whatever you're choosing to do, and find the appropriate service that will work correctly for you for whatever you're trying to accomplish. So lots of options with cloud-based backups. Now, your next option is to back up to some sort of external something, you know, and that external something could be a, again, something USB, a flash drive as an example. It could be an SD card, you know, these little chips that we use for our phones and use for storing moving data, maybe from a laptop. It could be a hard disk. It could be a network attached storage device. This is probably the most reliable out of this, also referred to as a NAS. This is an example of a NAS over here. This is a Synology NAS. This particular device has probably 16 hard drives inside of it, several terabytes of space. It will provide redundant writing of your data to multiple drives so that if one drive fails, it doesn't kill all the data. The advantage of this is that multiple people can use it for multiple different things. Okay. We have plenty of legacy devices, CD, DVDs, for example, Blu-ray, I guess if 1992 calls and, you know, you can only use a floppy drive, you could use that as well. Funny enough, I had a client that needed data restored and they literally had it on a floppy disk. It was an old payroll file that they had and they needed it for an audit. And they sent me the disk and I ended up going on Amazon and I had to find a USB floppy drive. And I've got one sitting over here that I used just about a year ago at this point. But, you know, truthfully, those are really legacy and we try to avoid them as whenever possible. Tape backup, believe it or not, very much making a comeback. Tape backup is pretty good because it provides really good rigidity, great long-term storage, and is the cheapest per gigabyte of storage capacity. And we also have things like backup appliances, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, which essentially are a server with just a ton of storage that can write up to the cloud. Now, if we're going to go with external drives, just realize you need to rotate these things through. There's extra considerations around theft and extra considerations around transporting it safely, you know, so that, for example, it doesn't get jostled and a hard disk becomes corrupted due to mechanical failure. Realize that this is your only backup. You are creating a concentration risk just in a single location. So you might want to consider other services as well. And you also need software to be able to do this as too. You know, just copying stuff to and from the disk is not sufficient enough. Now, in terms of software, lots of different options. There's NTI, there's Genie, Paragon, NovaStore, StorageCraft, and others. NovaStore would probably be my recommendation. And if you check the learning materials, I've got some articles that you can check out with respect to reviews of the different software and their different benefits that you might want to consider. Now, on the smaller side of this, you know, for small, let's say individual sole proprietors, groups of less than 10, here's some different recommendations of software products you might want to consider. Very similar to what I mentioned before. Another one I would mention is Backblaze, also a really good backup solution. Now, on the large scale, you got AWS backup, Azure backup, so on and so forth. I can tell you that even though these are considered large scale products, anybody can use them. Now, realize there are a couple different types of backup, okay? And we do different backups for different things, okay? We have archival backup. This is often what we do in the event that a folder is lost or stolen. We create an archive copy. We'll also, for example, do this for data that is infrequently accessed, you know, old customer records, old databases, things of this nature, you know, where we need to maybe keep a record for retention purposes, but it's not going to be used on a regular basis. We have business continuity backup. Okay. The business continuity backup is there to restore our most critical business data quickly to stay alive. Okay. We also have disaster recovery backup. This is the long-term restoration of our business as usual before a catastrophic event occurred. So, you know, think of right before the floodwater occurs. That's going to be that backup to bring us long-term into a position of being whole. Okay, some important things that you're going to need to think through with respect to your backup concepts of this. Deduplication. Most of us, myself included, I'm guilty of this. I have a tremendous amount of duplicate data. And I'm sorry. I mean, it just inevitably happens, especially with pictures. But there are services that you're going to want to run on your side to find duplicates and remove them before they make it into the mainstream use of your software. Because you certainly don't want to have 20 copies of the same thing. It just eats up space and costs you more money. There's this idea of copying data versus imaging data, taking a bit-for-bit backup of a hard disk versus just copying specific folders. It just depends on what you're looking for. You could do differential as well as incremental change, looking at the changes between the state of the hard disk. So you take a base image, and let's say that particular file doesn't change the next time. Well, if you do a differential or an incremental backup, you only move the changed files, and you can restore back as long as you've got a complete backup at some point. As well as versioning, essentially the ability to be able to get the different versions as these files change that might deal around with individual corrupted files or something like that. Now, in the material here, we go into specific examples of what it means, for example, to do archival backup, what this means, for example, to copy your files and to create backups that are just for long-term retention that are worth taking a look at, as well as how to do business continuity and disaster recovery backup. You know, and really with disaster recovery and business continuity backup, this is like worst case scenario where we're, you know, in a position where the business has a going concern of being able to stay afloat. And this is about bringing our business back into a position of being able to operate as quickly as possible. So definitely check those out to understand some of the specifics around those specific types of backup. Now, I want to talk for a little bit on backup appliances. And this is a need that not only is useful for larger businesses, but I think is growing for small and medium businesses as well. Now, backup appliances are fantastic. They're dedicated hardware that you can implement inside your organization, either at a server level or at a like a dedicated actual physical piece of equipment, like a NAS, a network area storage device, that will provide backup to servers as well as your groups of users. And the reason these are great is that they are dedicated. So they are built for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to retain data for your companies. In my opinion, overall, besides the only downside of this is just the acquisition costs. They're not cheap. They are the easiest and the most reliable form of disk-to-disk backup. And when you pair it with a backup service like AWS or Azure, it just works really well and I think provides the best overall redundancy to the company. Now, a disk-to-disk appliance backup is like a backup to external drive method, except it's much more automated and will work systematically for the organization. The appliance is typically a customized intelligent box that contains a specific operating system, usually a Linux-based operating system, and software that will automatically back up the servers inside your company as well as specified desktop users. So it could back up Steve's device, it can back up Janet's device, it could back up Ashley's device, so on and so forth. Okay, and then these devices, rather than the actual servers themselves or the individual users themselves, will then replicate that data to some sort of cloud storage for business continuity and disaster recovery purposes. Now, what do these things look like? Well, they look like computers. They look like disk drives. They look like literally everything else you probably have ever seen in a data center or in a rack of computer equipment. It's just they're designed to form and fill a very specialized function. They're different in the sense that they don't operate the same way that your computer operates, but they still are filled with, you know, microprocessors and disk drives and network equipment and stuff like that. They could be located inside of your local area network or in your wide area network. Changes are typically continuously being backed up to them. Servers, for example, are always writing these changes back, and then those changes are being batched up to some sort of cloud backup service. Now, these backup appliances can also do reverse backups from cloud providers as well. You know, so for example, let's say your entire, you know, environment, you know, burns down. Well, these appliances, if you were to get another one of them, can download their configuration from the cloud and then ultimately restore the computers that you're choosing to use. Now, there are lots of different solutions that you could choose to use here. Some of the major ones would be Barracuda Backup, NetRescue, Quantum, Stonefly, Unitrends. They're really good. Any of these solutions, even Datto is really good as well. Barracuda is probably the most popular out of the group. Our own Randy Johnston and his company, NMGI Network Management Group, even has their product, which is called NetRescue. This is a backup appliance that you can use that will do your local storage as well as file and server restoration. It will do the imaging for you. You can do incremental backups as frequently as 15 minutes. And you can even restore it to a different location in the event of a major critical outage. Pretty reasonably priced, and I definitely recommend you reach out to Randy if you have some questions on that or if you're looking for a solution that would work for your organization. So overall, these solutions provide the best long-term storage for your data, and they provide the best resiliency. And in a lot of ways, I'm not going to say they're set it and forget it, but they are designed to work pretty autonomously. Now, additionally, these applications can also replicate to the cloud. You know, there's obviously different fees that might apply for this, but I can tell you as much as possible in today's environment, unless you've got really specific criteria for operating locally, cloud really is the option now. I mean, I would say it used to be the exception to the rule that you were always local, except, you know, for a couple of organizations. Now, I mean, it really does stick out like a sore thumb when you have an organization that is solely locally based. I mean, if you can get the economies of scale to really kind of justify the investment of a lot of this hardware and software for your local environment, in my opinion, it's a lot cheaper and more reliable and more effective and less prone to disaster when utilizing cloud services natively. And a lot of these solutions will natively restore to the cloud too. So in the event of you can't acquire equipment, can't acquire servers in the event of a disaster, well, rather than try to restore to hardware that isn't going to work anymore, you can actually restore directly to, you know, an AWS or an Azure or a managed service provider like a Centrum or an Ace Cloud Hosting or something else like that. Okay, let's go ahead and bring our presentation to a close here, and let's have some parting thoughts and some summary. Okay, well, I want you to remember is that backup is a core functionality of your organization. It is as business critical as payroll, and that if your organization loses its ability to be able to operate and access its data, it can present a serious business continuity risk to the organization. The backup cycle and the business cycle need to be coordinated so that you're working in lockstep with each other. For example, an accounting firm needs to recover its tax file on a specific day for up to a year or more, depending on the complexity of that tax file. And that, you know, you might need several different versions of that depending on where that file was and its steps of preparation. If an accounting file is backed up every month, you might need to get a copy, but it might not be the version that you might want. And so you might need redundancy in the actual files that you're working with, kept over a variety of years so that you can compare, for example, working copies to finished copies and vice versa. Okay. While we've talked a lot about redundancy, realize that the complexity of ransomware and other malicious actors and other malicious software is continuing to grow. We need to be very, I would say, redundant and very strict with respect to how our backup operates, because, you know, this software is becoming so much more complex and sophisticated. And we don't know what we don't know yet. And, you know, there could be a chance in the very near future that this software will continue to grow and that we might even need a whole new methodology for implementing backup effectively inside of our organization. Cloud backup begins with the personal solutions like Dropbox, Google Drive, and more to help us back up either our individual files or a small group of files for our organization. Okay, and we need this for our personal stuff. We also can consider system-level backup services like Carbonite or CrashPlan as a great alternative for offsite employees, small organizations, as well as our personal computers if we choose to back them up. No matter what we choose, we want redundancy. Remember that 3-2-1 method. You need 3 copies of the data in 2 places, and at least one of those copies must be off-site. We have lots of great options for synchronization of our data, too. You know, remember, those OneDrive and Google Drives not only provide a great backup solution, but they also provide great synchronization between different devices that we have, allowing us to start a spreadsheet on one and finish it on another as needed. Overall, cloud backups have become faster and more reliable. Recovery time can still be something that we need to focus on, so I don't recommend putting all your eggs in one basket. But it should be a big component of your resolution and steps for resolving something like a business continuity issue or disaster recovery. Colleagues, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our presentation and discussion for today. Let's go ahead and finish with 3 quick review questions, and then we'll go ahead and conclude our presentation. Our first review question, which of the following are items to back up? Okay, is it select files and folders? You betcha. You definitely want those backed up. Full disk image, whenever possible, that's always great. Sometimes you want to do incremental storage where you, for example, are just backing up individual files and you're doing it incrementally or differentially. But then also it's great to have a full backup of the entire disk too in case you need to do the whole thing. That would be particularly helpful for instances of like ransomware or a major disaster of some sort. Okay, email, absolutely. Correct answer here is, what are the items you want to back up? The answer is all of it. When in doubt, back it all up. It's cheap, effective, affordable, fast, efficient. Why not do it? All right, our next review question. Which of the following are cloud storage? Is it OneDrive? You betcha. Google Drive? Absolutely. That's also one as well. Box.net, that's also a good example. Correct answer here is all of the above. Additional services would include things such as Amazon S3 or Azure Storage or, you know, frankly, there's so many. Dropbox is another example. You really can't make a bad decision now when it comes to cloud-based storage. Whatever you choose, just pick something, use it to the best of its ability. Make sure it's from a good quality provider and that you have good, strong passwords and two-factor authentication on it. And you know what? You will be good to go. All right, our next question. Which of the following are backup appliances? Is it Barracuda Backup? You betcha. Probably one of my personal favorites. Datto. Yep, absolutely. And we also have NMGI's NetRescue, which is also a fabulous hybrid backup solution as well. So the correct answer here, again, is all of the above. Well, today we had an action-packed day looking at all different types of backup services. We looked at, for example, the different methods and some of the differences and similarities between them that you might want to consider. We looked at some of the, for example, common deficiencies where people sometimes will make mistakes that will come back to haunt them in the future and what we could do to avoid those mistakes happening to you. We talked about the difference between RPO and RTO and how to categorize certain backup priorities, as well as how to create an implementation plan for your business. If this topic is of interest to you, I'd recommend that you check out the CPE Today podcast on and the series that's on disasters, data disasters, business continuity, disaster recovery, and all of the above, because I think you'll find that a lot of the topics that we talked here can really be put to use inside all different types of businesses, and that series goes into depth on everything you need to know to how to recover from a disaster. Now, before I let you go, I do want to remind you that our course is available for credit. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, remember, you can get credits for listening or watching podcasts. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com, take a 5-question quiz, you'll earn a credit, and you'll be well on your way to keeping your license. Besides our podcast, we have courses in all different sorts of categories, from accounting to audits to Excel and business productivity and, you know, professional development and more. There really is something for everybody. So again, check out cpetoday.com. If you like our material, please consider connecting with us on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and more. We'd love for you to leave a comment. And if you subscribe, you can get notified when new courses are being released. So, and as always, you can subscribe on the platform of your choosing and get our content as soon as it is released on demand. You're always welcome to watch us live, which is most days of the week, Tuesdays, or most weeks, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific. But if you would like to listen in the car, great, go ahead and do so. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and others, wherever you happen to get your content, you can find us there. It is always a pleasure being with you, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Thank you, good luck, and best wishes. Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office, and welcome to our podcast and presentation for today. This is K2's Backups Done Right. In this class, we are going to be looking and examining the different methods and manner of backup that you can do for your organization. Backup is one of those critical